prakritehe, of material nature. Kriyamanani, being done. Gunaihi, by the modes. Karmani, activities. Sarvashaha, all kinds of. Ahankara, vimudha, bewildered by false ego. Atma, the spirit soul. Karata, dua. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Manyate, he thinks. Translation. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Purport. Two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform, but there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently, and that is the symptom of his nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. The ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Hrishikesha, or the master of the senses of the material body. For, due to his long misuse of the senses in sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. This verse was often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, as also by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like many other Gita verses and other verses in Shastra, Gita, actually, everything is in Bhagavad Gita in basic form. So, like many other verses in Gita, this one, at least in my mind, stands out as being of immense importance for our whole understanding of reality. We live in this world of duality, where we think ourselves separate from Krishna. So this verse describes the mentality of persons who are bewildered by the modes of material nature and thinks that I'm doing, oblivious to our monumental insignificance. We not only identify with this body, but we think that this body is the most important thing ever in the whole expanse of time and the whole expanse of space. The most important thing that ever happened is me. We may not formulate that as a philosophy, but everyone tends to think about themselves all the time. And what they're doing, what I'm doing, this is the most important thing. Which is nonsense. But most people don't realize that. So this verse gives us an insight into the maya, the illusion of thinking oneself the controller and the doer. And thus this verse gives us more factual knowledge of reality than all the books of philosophy in all the libraries in the world, all the study of psychology after the advent of Sigmund Freud. This in the Western world, psychology has become a study considered of major importance, and many terms which were either introduced by Freud or his disciples have become part of the common English vocabulary. Of course, Freud spoke in German, but the translation and wrote in German. And our whole way of viewing the world, when we think of terms like false ego, superiority complex, inferiority complex, these are all terms imported from the modern psychological outlook. But this one verse gives us more insight into psychology than all of the modern psychology. They don't know this. Psychology is the study of the mind. They don't know what the mind is. They can't define it. Biology means the study of life, if we derive it from the Greek. They don't know what life is. This verse, to understand it, we have to understand other verses of Gita, the whole of Bhagavad Gita. It's all interlinked. Prakriti, what is that? What is Krishna's... here, Prakriti can be understood both to mean that the material energy as a whole, the force of the bewildering potency of the material energy, and also the ingredients of the material energy, and also the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratya. This is Krishna's maya. And we have to understand that, we are, as we do from Bhagavad Gita, that ultimately Krishna is the controller. And in this world we are controlled by the three modes of material nature. And through this understanding we can see and understand all human interactions in all times and all places and all circumstances, so that when we meet someone and they say something, we can understand, oh, that he's being impelled by Maya. And we hear that on the news, the President of America has said, and we understand that it's just in Maya, that's all. He's impelled by Maya, thinking, I am the President of America, I am the doer. But he's a little pawn. Another example, you may have seen the painting of the three modes of material nature controlling. The two men are arguing with each other, and they're on puppet strings, and there are three puppeteers, and beyond them is the chief, the three puppeteers. They're all women, and above them is another woman. That's Maya herself, and above her is Krishna. And we are thinking, I am controlling. So, this is the world. People think, I am in control. I know what I want, and I know how to get it. Yesterday I saw a video in which a woman said, I know what I want and I know how to get it. And it's quite acceptable in modern Western culture, and it's considered something very laudable to say. That's called self-confidence. You have to be very clear. You know what you want and you know how to get it. It's a demoniac outlook. I. I know what I want and I'm going to get it by my own endeavor. I know how to get these people out of the way and exploit people and manipulate people. But that's not something quite good in the manipulative society, in which the idea is that you should get ahead and get money and show yourself to be a great success. This demoniac outlook is considered something very praiseworthy. Oh, yeah, he's ambitious, focused. You might learn this if you go to some personality development course. They may tell you, you have to have this kind of attitude. You have to know what you want, you have to know how to get it, and you have to stick to your plan and be firm and don't let anyone get in your way. This is completely demoniac. This whole outlook. No traditional society would have such an outlook because they know that humans have to cooperate. This is only on the animal platform we have to cooperate. There's no question of morality or spirituality, but just as many species of animals and birds and fish, they cooperate out of necessity, so humans have to also. But the demoniac outlook is, let me get ahead, let me show myself to be great. So this is being encouraged in the name of modern advanced society. Of course, it's nothing new. The whole history of the world is foolish people claiming proprietorship. This is my land, I'm in control, I'm in charge. Even their mental possessions, if you invent something, you can get a patent for it, and then you earn money from it. Now they have, in America, patented the word neem, and neem they extracted from the neem plant the bitter substance, and they've patented it as if no one ever knew about it for millions of years. But I did it. I got it. I'm the scientist who did it. So there are many such things. They take it and they these medicines they make mostly. In the pharmaceutical business, they find some natural antidote to some disease, extract the essence of it, and say, I discovered it, and put a patent on it. And then they say, natural medicine is very bad. We can't accept that as being scientific. Scientific means we make a lot of money out of it by claiming it to be my own. And all these... The Einstein's relativity theory, relativity, did he invent it? It's there, and he speculated about it, and many people accept it to be correct, and so his name's put on it. But it's already there without him, without his name being on it. And even the brain power to speculate in such a way and come up with such a theory is, that's given by someone else, not by him. Where's Einstein now? He's maybe some bug crawling around, and he doesn't have the brain of Einstein. Maybe he has a bigger brain. Maybe he's an Indra with... The demigods have much more intelligence than we do. That's why they chant Hare Krishna. Young Brahma, Varun, Indra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Stavaya, Deva. They worship the Lord. They aspire to chant Hare Krishna. The demigods aspire to take birth on this planet at this time so they can join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So we have our physical possessions, our mental possessions. We find physical possessions. Yesterday I mentioned about the day before, about Shukracharya, his daughter Devayani, her clothes got mixed up with those of Sharmishta, and Sharmishta took her clothes and had a big fight, and then Sharmishta threw her in the well, practically leaving her dead just because the clothes got my clothes. Also, we find in the narration of Ramanuja, his sannyasi disciples were thinking they were very renounced, and these householders, they're just a bunch of sense enjoyers. So Ramanuja arranged one night for all their kopins to be stolen. They got up in the morning, they were, oh, who took our kopin? Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that sannyasi can also, if he only has a little hut to live in and a little water pot, kamandalu, he can become attached to that also. But he said generally the attachment to that is not as strong as the householder's to his many possessions, if he can have many possessions. Traditionally, many people in India wouldn't have many possessions. They'd have just a little hut and a few cooking utensils, and that's about it. They wouldn't have any furniture or anything else. And there's still signs of that. There's still a few grass huts here and there, but they're gradually getting replaced by brick houses. So this idea, there's copyright. We have these, some hallucination, and we write it down, some book, we put a copyright. It's my intellectual property. I did it. You have to pay me to buy this book. I'll make money by writing this book. And Krishna gives the intelligence how to forget him and write various theories and novels, stories, all kinds of nonsense. Everywhere there's someone wanting someone else to die, wishing they could die. Right now, somewhere on this earth, almost certainly, some murder is taking place. Either legal or illegal. Murder is legal, yes, in this country also. Some kinds of murder. It's babies, abortions, that's also murder, according to the Sanskrit definition. The word is there, bhrun hatya, murder. Hatya means murder of the embryo. So, and apart from that, the murder, it's acceptable if you, well, there are different laws in different countries. I believe it's up to the first trimester in many countries. It means the first 3 months of pregnancy. So if you do it one day, it's quite okay. The next day, it's illegal. What's the big difference? All of a sudden, the embryo, because the parliament passed a law that the embryo is no longer an embryo, it's a nascent baby. And so the baby's screaming inside, don't come. No, no, it's okay. You're still not a human, so we can kill you. There's a famous film was made maybe 30 years ago called The Silent Scream, in which there's an x-ray of a baby being aborted. And you can see the baby being screaming as they kill it. Kill it. The word it is used for a baby. Just see. I said myself. Kill him or her. So, scheming how to kill others. There are many people, respectable people in the world, who are paid, and their profession is to work on very intelligent ways on how to kill others. And recently, the latest advance in this is the drones, which go flying off here and there and kill people. And that was put together with a lot of very intelligent people, very respected people, no doubt, well paid. Sitting all together and working out how to kill people. And then there are so many armies, and they're making plans how to kill others. And they're not just making plans, they're actually doing it, all under the idea that we'll kill others and then we'll be in control. We'll show this demoniac idea. But forgetting that I have to die also. Our plans for being so big and so great. That picture is there of the puppets being pulled by the modes of material nature. We're all like remote controlled beings. That we have some independence, but not very much. In human life, if we don't use that little independence to atato brahma jignyasa, to search out the absolute truth, then we just remain within the three modes of material nature. Therefore, human life begins with the inquiry into the absolute truth. Otherwise, we're animals. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyame tat pashubhya nararanam. Jnanam hite sham adhiko vishe sham jnanena hina pashubhir nararnam. Humans and animals eat, sleep, mate and defend. The difference is that humans can seek out knowledge. Knowledge in the Upanishadic context, knowledge, jnana, means atma-jnana, not knowledge of how to eat, sleep, mate and defend. So without that, a human is just an animal. Because the animals also have knowledge. They also have knowledge how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And in some ways, they do it more expertly than we do. A bird can build a nest. You try building a nest. See if you can do it with your mouth. They do it largely with their beaks, right? Or say, we'll throw you in the sea, and the some kinds of fish, like the salmon, they spawn and hatch. They are hatched, and then later the female spawns in fresh water. Then they swim out to the sea, and then after some time they come back to where they were born in the fresh water. How would you do that? Swimming around in the sea, you can find your way to some freshwater river. We don't have even the strength to do it. We're proud of our strength. A weightlifter picks up the big weight, but he can't swim in the ocean like the fish can. So we think we're so great. But there are many things that the animals do much better than we do, or even a little fish. So how great are we? We're not at all great, but we're thinking we are great. We have our aims, our desires, our dreams. I want to be like that, and some kind of hallucination that I want to be. I want this, I want that, but everything is smashed in due course of time. We'll find someone, just like there may be some big sports hero, and then they remain a hero as long as they can kick the ball or bat the ball or whatever, and then they get forgotten, and then they just, as they grow older, they become less and less strong, and then they just shrivel up and die. And there was some Indian cricketer about a year ago, something like that, some Pashtun guy. He was, and it was all over the newspapers when he died. I'd never heard of him. I only heard of him when he died. See, some cricketer from way back in the past. I think I mentioned to you, and you knew the name, but I didn't. I forgot it again. Maybe, I don't know. So he was famous, then he was forgotten, then when he died everyone remembered him again, and then 2 days later completely forgotten again. So this is the name, fame and glory in the material world. Ah, how nasty this material existence is without Krishna. Here's a quote which I came across from Pascal. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. I just seen it written. It's French name, so being English, I'm a little wary about pronouncing French words, because we probably Pascal is mispronounced also. Anyway, he was a famous French mathematician, philosopher, later became theistic, so we're told. And anyway, this is a quote from him, translated from French. Imagine a number of men in chains, all under sentence of death, some of whom are each day butchered in the sight of the others. Those remaining see their own condition in that of their fellows, and looking at each other with grief and despair, await their turn. This is an image of the human condition. So actually, thinking like this is more intelligent than Prakriti Kriyamarnani. Instead, There are different kinds of people. Most people think, yeah, let's get on with life and enjoy it. And there are others who see the misery. It's actually completely miserable. Did you get that? That people are all chained up and they know they're going to be killed, and each day two or three of them are butchered, hacked to pieces in front of those who are chained up. And those who are chained up know that one day soon it's going to be me. So this is our human condition. So some people see like that. But most people think, oh, how wonderful, I'm having a great life. Or if I'm not now, I will do, I'll make some adjustment. So the chained up vision, that's more realistic. But there's supra-realistic also, to understand the actual reality above and beyond this. Tasmat, what is that? Prastasmat tu bhavano vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Yastu sarvani, yatu sarvani bhutani. Ah, I forgot it anyway, as usual. Krishna says there is another world beyond this world which is created and destroyed. Nashyatsu na vinashyati. Yatu sarvani bhutani nashyatsu na vinashyati. When everything, there is another world, which this world is destroyed again and again, but that world, that is my Sanatan Dham, where it remains eternally. So if we have knowledge of this, then we can actually be happy. We can come to the platform of reality. In this world, either we're foolishly hopeful or desperately realistic. But the real platform is to be intelligently hopeful. Intelligently hopeful and intelligently realistic. It means we see the reality of this world and we know that reality is not, it's neither the foolish attempt to enjoy this world, nor the despair of thinking that this world is all in all. There is the spiritual world with Krishna that we get information of from Bhagavad Gita. That we have to accept our position as humble servants of Krishna. Sometimes people become spiritual or renounced simply out of a sense of disappointment. Srila Prabhupada mentions this in connection with the Dhritarashtra in the first canto of Bhagavatam in his purports. Sometimes people, they become renounced from this world. They just see it's miserable and they withdraw from it and become a sadhu. And people say, oh, they're very renounced. But their renunciation is, it's something like the grass dries up because there's no water. But if you put water again, it'll become green. So they're seeing that they have no opportunity to enjoy, they become renounced. Their house burns down, their family all dies, they have no job. Oh, so I'll become a sadhu. And then they become a sadhu, and then they get a letter in the post that, you just won a crore of rupees on the lottery from before you became a sadhu, and then, oh, well, I don't have to be a sadhu anymore, do I? No use being renounced anymore, now I've got a crore of rupees, I'm sure I can get of course you can't, even buy, you can get a little hut in the village maybe, but if you want to buy an apartment in Bombay, a crore is not going to be enough, maybe for the down payment. So it's become a normal thing now, you go into people's houses and not the average apartment, more than the average, but some apartment cost a crore, one, and just an apartment. A few years ago, we went to Radha Charan's apartment, it was 1.5 crores, just some ordinary apartment. So we're gonna have to think. We used to talk about lakhpatis, now it's crore patty doesn't mean anything. What's the next thing? We're going to have to think up something else. People become renounced out of disappointment. And they become austere. And they're praised as being very saintly, but it's just that they're incompetent, that's all. In the struggle to become a great enjoyer of this world, they found, I'm going nowhere. I'm okay, so I couldn't succeed in this world, so let me become, let me renounce it. But there's no real basis to their renunciation except disappointment. There's nothing positive. There's no bhakti in that. So in our movement also, we shouldn't think that, well, because someone's incompetent means they're very spiritually advanced. Srila Prabhupada didn't accept that at all. We should do everything very nicely, very well for Krishna. Not that we build some building which is already falling down even before it's opened, and we think, oh, well, we're very renounced, that's why we didn't make a nice building. But we should do things properly for Krishna. Sometimes we see people, they're devotees, but they get carried away by this. We've seen in our movement several times someone has a little success as a preacher, and then they start considering themselves a world acharya, and they make sure that everyone knows that they're a pure devotee. Sometimes even we find very neophyte devotees who have actually never done anything of. Of course, in devotional service, everything is absolute, but there are some devotees who have preached very widely and they've actually done many things in devotional service. Sometimes we see complete neophytes who want to advertise themselves as some world acharya and promote themselves as pure devotees and trying to use the apparatus of Krishna consciousness to promote themselves. It's just completely opposite to Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness preaching means to promote Krishna. It's an obvious thing, isn't it? That's why it's called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada didn't call it the International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. Although we should be conscious of Prabhupada, he gave us Krishna. How many have we seen big, big persons promoting themselves, very anxious to be known as great heroes, and then hero to zero? They become puna mushika bhava. They again become just like a mouse. Someone, big, big guru, everyone was calling him world acharya and this and that. Not everyone. And then he was found out he was doing some illegal activities and put in prison and came out as in a wheelchair. And still, then it's still talking as if he's oblivious to the fact that he's in a disgraced position. Just this mire of thinking, I'm very great. So, better to think ourselves very small, which we are, and know that Krishna is very great, and that we have to come under the shelter of the spiritual energy. Either this is our independence, that we can choose either to be under the material energy and be controlled by the material energy, or be under the spiritual energy and controlled by the spiritual energy. Mahatmanastu mang parta daivin prakriti mashritaha pajantyananyamanaso gyatva bhutadimavya. Mahatmas, Krishna describes, they're under the shelter of the internal energy. My internal energy, that means Radharani, Srila Prabhupada has explained in the Nectar of Devotion. They worship me, Krishna says, with one-pointedly, with single-mindedly. Because they know that who I am, they know who Krishna is. He is the one who should be worshipped. He is the inexhaustible. Then satatam kirtayanto mang yatam tascha jiravrataha namasyam tascha mang bhakta nitya yukta upasate. This is the worshipping Krishna single-pointedly, this always chanting his names, glorifying him, satatam kirti, with firm determination, bowing down to Krishna, always absorbed in his service. So through this verse we can see what is the situation of this material world, how everyone, the people have different theories, different philosophies, they're all carried away by Krishna's Maya. So we have to take shelter of Krishna and not think that just because we have come to Krishna consciousness that we're free from Maya. The paraphernalia of Krishna consciousness can be, we may think we're in Krishna consciousness, but we may take the paraphernalia and all of that and just go on in practically material consciousness or mixed consciousness. But mixed consciousness won't take us to Krishna. We find again and again, Gita Krishna says, Bhajanti ananya manasaha. I just quoted that then. Ananya cheta satatam. This ananya cheta. And there are many such references. Mamanusmara. Always thinking of me. Anusmara means all the time remembering me. So through this verse we can see how the world is going on. So we can pray to Krishna that we be free from this mayic consciousness, illusory consciousness. We have to be very careful also, because it's easy to get I was talking about those who will advertise themselves and they get followers, because it's easier just to suspend our rational faculty and accept someone as a great devotee, even if they're not. We're supposed to see through the eye of Shastra and not be sentimental. Sentiment, of course, is there. The devotional service means our sentiment toward Krishna. But there are descriptions of pure devotees and mixed devotees and non-devotees. And it's very easy for us just to surrender our intelligence. But we shouldn't do that. That's caused so many problems in our movement, that someone is accepted as a great devotee. Later it becomes apparent that he's not, but people still follow because it's too painful for them to face reality. So we should see through the eye of Shastra and understand what is what, who is who. It's not simply by advertisement or even by building big buildings or even by having many followers that one is necessarily a pure devotee. Something going on in the news in the last few days, some person who became a sadhu in Haryana, his ashram is under siege. The police are trying to get in to arrest him because he has 40 cases against him, including involvement in some murder. And the supporters are all surrounding the ashram to keep him out, to keep the police out. So what happened to him? He became a sadhu and then he became involved in some things which he shouldn't have become involved in. But the followers, they don't want to admit that there's something wrong. At least if there's some strong suspicion of being something wrong, but they can't seriously wrong. A murder is something seriously wrong. But they can't admit that. And they think that our guru should be above the law. Actually, the guru should be above the law, but then there shouldn't be any accusation of murder cases. Also, above the law means they're just a Brahmins. Traditionally, they're not to be punished, because it's understood that they don't do any wrong. So, Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Yeah, go ahead. Your hand went up and then it came down, and then you're looking around doubtfully. Let us be great servants. Yeah. Great servant means we should imbibe to a great extent the mood of being a servant, not that I will be recognized as great. Srila Prabhupada once explained that it's good to be proud of being a Vaishnava. There's a certain kind of pride which is acceptable in devotional service. Just like one can feel proud, oh, Srila Prabhupada, we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. That is, we are proud to have such a great master. Not on our own account, but that we are connected with such a great personality. Srila Prabhupada explained that. That is, he didn't explain it in relationship to himself, but I'm doing so. So we can feel pride in that sense. Not on one's own personal account. Then, anything else? Yeah.
Once I was speaking with a devotee who used, whenever he speak, he used this word I very much.
I, yeah. If someone in the course of talking, you hear them use the word I at least 10 times every minute, then you think there's something wrong there. He does it habitually, yeah.
When I asked that why this word I is used so much, so he told that if we don't use this word I, then we lose the sense of identity. Then it will be.
If I don't keep on saying I lose the sense of identity.
We lose the sense of identity and it will become like very impersonal.
And it becomes impersonalism. Prabhupada also said, I. Actually, Prabhupada, he generally said, we. What do we understand by that? Exactly, no one asked him and he didn't explain it. When he thinks of I, he thinks of myself propelled by my spiritual master. Exactly what he meant by it, I don't know. It's an uncommon usage. Yeah, but the idea that if I don't say I all the time, then it'll become impersonal. Well, you can mention other people. There are other people in the existence apart from yourself. For instance, Krishna. Isn't it that we're satatam kirtayanto mam? We're supposed to be talking about Krishna. Isn't it? Maybe he is an impersonalist and he read satatam kirtayanto mam means, oh, about myself. I'm supposed to always praise myself. I don't know. But even materialistic people will notice that there's something egoistic about a person who always talks about themselves. That's a very strange idea. If I don't all the time say I, then it will become impersonalistic. So, Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Who gave us this knowledge by which we can understand that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay. It's a question popped up just at the end. All right, just at the last moment.
My Yama devotees, so somehow thing I am doing only these studies, I am only doing the all studies, I don't do service to others. What is the
point of me? I'm doing this service, I don't give it to others. There could be some egoism there. Possibly. I don't know. I can't say exactly who you're thinking of or what you're thinking of. It's not that in every case it'll be egoism. I could also think of a case where, for instance, a pujari is doing and he's tried to give the service to others but they don't do it properly or on time. Who is that? Someone told me recently that someone was complaining that, well, they don't get the chance to offer arati, the pujaris won't allow them. So I asked the head pujari, and he said, well, yeah, we say that, okay, we used to come and do Mangalarti, and then another morning when he was scheduled to come, he wouldn't come. He wasn't reliable. So then we cut him out, because otherwise at the last minute you have to find a pujari. So that may be a case also. Yeah. Banglai bolo. Krishna katha bola theke ei ami amar buddhi amra charta pabo. Yeah, the question was that we don't want to think in terms of I, me, and mine, but sometimes it just comes. How can we overcome this? So I answered that, well, we're talking about Krishna, then we'll be able to give up that mentality. So that we have to practice. Sadhana means practice. So we have to practice. And at least during the class time, there should be discussion of Krishna, Krishna's philosophy. Then during the sadhana, at least at that, that's for several hours a day, the chanting Hare Krishna, the names of Krishna are coming incessantly on the tongue. You have to capture in the ear, the mind, the heart. So it's practice that we're thinking of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, give this. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.